Have you ever wondered what it's like to witness a murder?
Forrest grabbed the knife and then just stabbed Johnny in one motion.
Or how it feels to be shot?
I was immediately hit by a barrage of bullets.
Or how you would react if your spouse hired someone to kill you?
And he was to put me in a grave with a bullet wound on my head.
These are the stories you'll hear on the podcast called What Was That Like? True stories told by the actual person who went through it. You'll hear from a stalking victim.
Came back upstairs, and when I came back and turned the corner into my room, I saw him standing there.
You'll hear from a man who was kidnapped and tortured.
I would do anything, say anything, to simply get away.
And you'll hear actual 911 calls.
Take a deep breath.
Oh my God!
Take a deep breath.
Oh my God!
Take a deep breath.
Oh my God!
Real people in unreal situations. Search for What Was That Like on any podcast app, or at whatwasthatlike.com.
This podcast contains adult themes and language, and some of the things that we discuss may be disturbing to some listeners. In this podcast, we discuss sexual assault, torture, race, and murder. Listener discretion is advised. Hey, Fruit Loops Pod Squad. We had some challenges this week and were unable to finish our episode in time. But we didn't want to leave you with nothing to listen to, so we're releasing one of our patron-only extra episodes. We release these weekly for our patrons on Patreon, and this one is from the week of August 8th. We hope you enjoy it. We will have a new episode for you next week. With that said, let's get on with the show. Extra, read all about it. Fruit Loops has some updates for you, and we are going to shout it.
Shout it.
Oh, my friend, how are you doing over there?
I'm doing good. It's a good day.
It is. It is. Yeah. We're recording this on a Friday, which is nice. Yeah. We love Fridays. And that is all I'll say about that.
Yeah.
Because it's wild out there. Let's get into it.
It is wild.
Let's see. Did you hear about the ICU nurse who killed six people in a Los Angeles car crash?
No.
What? You didn't see the video?
I did not.
Girl,
I saw the video of Anne Hesch driving into a house.
Oh, I didn't see that video, but it was all over my timeline that she is not doing well, in a coma, not expected to survive. She died?
She died. Yep.
Stop it. Oh my God. Anne Hesch?
I will not. Yep.
Oh my God.
I know. Whoa. I was shocked too. She's pretty young. She's like 52 or something.
Yes, but I think I saw that there was fentanyl in her system.
Well, they said there might be drugs in her system, but they didn't say what the drugs were. They were speculating. And so, yeah, she's probably doing drugs.
Well, let me tell you, like I said, when you can't go on a vacation, the Rona's everywhere, monkeypox.
Yeah,
you gotta
just
escape.
Don't drive a car.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me about this ICU nurse.
So this woman killed six people. She got in a fight with her mans and got real emotional. Jumped in her car, her SUV, and sped through this intersection. By the way, this is a famous intersection. It's off Slauson at like 100 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
And the video, it is a flash and then kabooey explosions.
Holy
it's very
shit.
Disturbing to watch.
Yeah.
She's now facing 90 years in prison. She's a Black woman. She's an ICU nurse. She's from Houston. Her name is Nicole Linton. And she's been charged with six counts because six people were killed, including a pregnant woman. She was 6 or 7 months pregnant on her way to the doctor with her almost 1-year-old son in the car.
Jesus.
And so far that victim and, her baby are the only ones names that have been released that I could find. So rest in power to Sheree Ryan, who was 23. She was pregnant and her son was almost 1 year old. His name was Alonzo.
That's so sad.
It's really sad. And I think the DA was commented on the fact that she was pregnant because the public was calling for the unborn baby to be an added count. And I think he said he just couldn't
because of the way the laws are in California.
Because I was just listening to another podcast about Lacey Peterson.
Oh my God. Okay. I have more questions, but what did they say?
Oh, they were saying that, that the law was changed mm-hmm. so that if, somebody killed a woman who was pregnant, that they could be charged with, the death of the fetus as well.
Oh, interesting. Now, is that in Florida where Lacey Peterson is
California.
From?
That's,
oh, interesting. Ooh, well, I guess we'll have to stay tuned on that one. But for this particular case, the DA wasn't in a position to do it, even though the public was calling for it. Hmm. Linton, the nurse, is being held on $9 million bail. So she's never getting out.
Yeah.
If convicted.
So she wasn't hospitalized?
She was hospitalized.
Oh, okay.
I think she got out of the hospital earlier this week. The crash happened the end of last week.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And what was I going to say?
Wow.
Oh, everybody thought she was faded or on drugs. No drugs in her system or alcohol.
She was just mad.
She was just mad.
Wow.
And I feel like it's an example of hurt people. She was hurt.
Yeah.
She got in her car and she hurt other people in a really horrific way. Also, apparently, she's had 13 crashes, 13 car accidents.
Holy
which
shit.
Is a lot. But
yeah, that's
I
nuts.
Mean, considering that there's so many people and so many cars on the road, it would be weird if you had zero accidents.
That would be weird.
That
yeah,
would be
but
weird.
13
but 13 is a lot.
Is a lot
of
I
car
think
accidents.
In my entire life, I may have been in 4 accidents.
Really?
And most of them were not my fault.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to think. I've been in a handful, maybe 3. And I'm 38.
Right.
Wait a minute, how old am I? Yeah, I think I'm 38.
But, isn't it funny how when as you get older, you forget
like,
how old you are?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. 30-something, maybe 40, yeah, who knows? Yeah.
I'm pushing 40. That's all that matters. And my knees will tell you the same. Now, so 13 crashes is a lot. So the public was also like, how did this woman still have a driver's license?
Yeah.
But accidents happen. I tell people this all the time, that just because you get in an accident, it doesn't make you a bad person. That's why people have insurance, is because bad things happen, right?
It just happen. Yeah. You're not,
13
it's not like you're planning
on
having an accident.
Ooh, let me get in my car. Let me crash everything. Kill everybody. No, you know what? That's very insensitive. I'm going to stop. But anyway, that's a lot of car crashes for one person.
Yeah, it is.
But even in LA.
Yeah.
So what do you got? I'm so surprised you didn't. Oh, I have to ask. Another podcast about Lacey Peterson.
Oh, what? Yeah. What was I doing? I forget. I was listening to some podcast and I don't know. I was just listening to like different episodes and one of them happened to be Lacey Peterson.
Oh, okay. You do, boo.
It's a story that interests me like every once in a while.
I thought about this because you were also really into the Lori Vallow story, which
yes.
I did not find compelling, but it was one of those stories that it just never seemed to go away. It always lingered a bit, kind of like Lacey's story.
So
eventually something happened.
Yeah, I think what fascinates me is it just like weird stories. Like the Lacey Peterson story to me is weird. Like what happened? What, you know, it's just like odd. And then the Lori Vallow one too, like the whole cult element and like she killed her kids and we don't know exactly what happened. And it's just fascinating to me. I'm like always trying to figure out, well, maybe somebody will give me some information. Well, I'll know what happened, but they never do. So.
But we're still interested in that stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, if there's no answer to my satisfaction, then I continue to be interested because I want an answer.
Oh, my God. They're teasing you.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It's true crime Florida. foreplay. Oh yes, my God. Is. Oh, behave. wow. Well, thanks for answering my question. I was curious and I was thinking about it earlier this week.
Yeah, what the hell?
What is it? Because we'll talk about nine in a bit because I'm fascinated by what is going on.
Yes,
but,
that's on my next.
Oh, okay. Okay. Tell me about it.
So you guys all know probably by now that the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago this past Monday. And they were looking for classified documents. And what had happened was
come to find out. Matter of fact, those are things Trump, my people say when the story's really compelling.
Come to find out, when Trump left the White House, he was supposed to turn over his documents to the National Archives.
Oh.
And the National Archives said it received some documents at the end of the administration, but that some of them had been torn up and taped back together, and that others were handed over in scraps. I found out like through all this that Trump was in the habit of tearing up documents. Like he would just tear them up and people would like come after him, be like, no, you can't do that. And then they would like tape them back together. And sometimes he would flush them down the toilet.
Yes. Isn't that wild?
That's
nuts. The president, sir.
You're the president. Why are you doing this?
You can't do that. Oh, my God.
And so
I was just thinking, maybe he thought you weren't supposed, like, I don't know.
No, he has no respect for anything. So he doesn't give a shit. He's like, I don't like this. I'm going to tear it up. That's Trump. Yeah.
Yeah.
So over the past year and a half, Trump has repeatedly faced questions about the documents that he turned over and the documents that he kept that by law were supposed to be handed over to the National Archives.
Right.
And in mid-January of 2022, the National Archives succeeded in retrieving 15 boxes of materials that Trump took from the White House and was storing at Mar-a-Lago. And the agency said it had negotiated with Trump's lawyer throughout 2021 to have those materials returned. Mm-hmm. But sometime after receiving those boxes, the National Archives discovered what appeared to be classified information within the documents.
Oh, no.
And yeah, so they flagged the incident to the Justice Department. And so, and I've been
listening. That's our boy Merrick Garland, right?
Yeah. And Christopher Wray is the head of the FBI. And guess who appointed him?
Did Mr. Trump do that?
Yep.
Yeah. Congratulations, bro. You played yourself so hard on that one. Wow.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
All right, so let's talk about batteries, specifically social batteries.
Okay.
Now, during the winter, you know, like my battery was like really drained and I really just couldn't wait for it to be over. And now that winter is gone, I am feeling more energized socially. So I can manage having friends over at my house and going out to do things. But I have to do a lot of mental preparing.
Yeah.
And then I also have to have time to recover from the people and the things.
Oh, yeah. I get that. And I know there are people out there who are energized and even thrive on being around people.
Yeah.
But I am definitely not one of those people.
No, ma'am. The thing is, you know, sometimes our batteries can get drained when we say yes to all the things and to all the people. And we forget to, you know, set boundaries and set aside time and space for ourselves.
Everyone's different.
Right.
And the good news is that therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Well, that sounds great.
Yeah.
I definitely had many sessions with my therapist about boundaries and positive coping skills. And therapy is, dare I say, empowering.
Yeah.
And it can help you become the bestest version of yourself and can help you determine when your battery is beyond depleted or needs a refresher.
Yeah. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/fruit today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp.com/fruit.
24 hours ago, I found out the person that I'd been dating and seeing for the last 6 months as a con man.
That is my sister Emma. Andrew Tonks's lies had been so convincing, she'd invested $300,000 with him. However, the tables were about to turn on Andrew. What he didn't know was that Emma had discovered his real identity. But to get any chance of justice, Emma had to act like it was business as usual. Coming up in this series...
And that's when murder, all this stuff goes through my mind. I'm really, really scared.
I'm assuming Sarah has watched too much Netflix and figures I've been defrauding you. Couldn't be further from the truth.
That's what this was, a real life story that seems so unbelievable, but it was actually true.
A true story that all starts with one simple swipe to the right. I'm Sarah Ferris.
And I'm Emma Ferris. And this is my story, Conning the Con.
So a federal grand jury issued a subpoena related to the document investigation. And at some point in the spring, some federal agents, including one involved in counterintelligence, made a visit to Mar-a-Lago to get more information about the classified documents that might...
Just a friendly visit.
Yeah, just a friendly visit. Mm-hmm. Talk to him. And apparently they were trying to, you know, see if there were any there and try to get them back if they were. But apparently Trump wasn't cooperating. So...
Oh, no.
FBI agents, they descended on his home. They had to break open a safe.
And
I've been listening to I've been listening to a lot of podcasts about this, like political podcasts, like Stay Tuned with Preet.
Oh, of course, of course.
The Daily and you know, stuff like that to try to get more information.
Understand. Yeah.
Yeah. And I got the impression that somebody probably told them that there was something in the safe. Because otherwise they probably wouldn't have like gone to that extreme.
To those lengths.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And so they got these documents. And then after, you know, after they went to his house and got these documents, then of course Trump was complaining and he said it was basically it was like a political hit job. And he also claimed that Obama took documents.
Oh, no. Keep my president's name out your mouth.
The National Archives said, no, that's not true. Obama was very cooperative and, you know, just Trump is such a dick. And so all the, you know, the GOP is like all freaking out and saying all kinds of ridiculous stuff. So
My favorite has been defund the police. And I never thought I would hear a white person say that.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
Marjorie Taylor Greene said defund the FBI. And I said, oh, is there something wrong with my eyeballs or my screen? Because this can't be right.
Yeah. And, you know, the other day, a guy attacked the FBI office in Cincinnati with a nail gun.
A nail gun. Sir.
Get the shit out of me. Get away from
me. Oh my gosh. As far as weapons go,
that's a nasty one.
It's just
one.
Painful.
Yeah.
Nasty.
Yeah. Nasty. Yeah. Mm. So, because of all these things, Merrick Garland gave a press conference, basically because Trump had brought it up and the Republicans were saying all these ridiculous things.
Uh-huh.
So he felt like he had to at least say something about it. But you could tell by the press conference that he was like, I'm not going to say what we're looking for. Our investigation speaks for itself. And, you know, we're going to unseal the warrant because Trump has the warrant. He could give it. He was saying something about the warrant that he didn't have it or something like that. And he's like, he has it. He has it. And he can let you guys see it if he wants to. But he doesn't want to, apparently. So we're going to unseal
it. The text
it.
Says you read it. Yeah. So what's going on? The text, the bubbles on my phone say you read my message.
Yeah.
So what is going on?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So they unsealed it today. And
they
they did. So that happened about 3 p.m. Eastern time today. The filing includes two attachments, attachment A and attachment B.
Girl, did you read them?
No, I didn't. Oh, okay. I didn't. Okay. I'm just looking at it. I will read them, but I'm just reading from a news article.
Okay.
So it indicates that the Justice Department, in its search of the Mar-a-Lago estate, is investigating potential violation of at least three separate criminal statutes, including a statute under the Espionage Act.
Wow, that's serious.
Yeah. And there's other stuff in there, but yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah. Well, all the programming I listened to today said he took the nuclear codes home.
Well, that's a rumor. Okay. That's going around. We don't know for sure. Some sources have said that classified documents relating to nuclear weapons were among the items that the FBI sought. Mm-hmm. But we don't know. What exactly?
I love how you even sound very measured. Like, well, but the media is really bad at this. Because the media is mostly white, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What is really frustrating to me is he is a crime person. He is a person who committed crimes.
He is a criminal.
But for some reason, wait, I know what it is. He's rich, powerful, male, and white. The rules seem to just not apply.
Yeah. So that changed. Was one thing that Merrick Garland said that I really liked was that, let's see, what did he say? I wrote it down. He said, faithful adherence to the rule of law is the bedrock principle of the Justice Department and our democracy. Upholding the rule of law means applying the law evenly without fear or favor. Under my watch, that is precisely what the Justice Department is doing.
Okay, so, Merrick Garland.
You go, girl.
You go, girl. Okay. We see you, Merrick. I feel so bad. I felt so bad for Merrick Garland when he got nominated by Barack Obama to be a Supreme Court justice, and I know he would have done an excellent job, but I feel like
and he got
this is his
for 18 months or something.
Yeah.
And then what's the lady, that Christian lady, got nominated like, I don't know, a month before the election, and
I get all my white ladies confused. Amy Coney Barrett.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think of her as the Christian lady.
Oh man. Oh boy. Yeah, she is that too.
So it's been a delicious week.
It has been. I will say I have felt like, and back to your point about the Lori Vallow and the Lacey Peterson, like, this Trump story is one that has been lingering in the news for years.
He did it.
Everybody, he did it. But he's out of jail.
Right.
And it's still, and so every time I heard news about it, I just would brush it off because I knew nothing was going to happen. But now it feels like something's happening.
Something,
and I am paying attention.
I'm still not sure that anything's going to happen, but I was also listening to an episode of I don't remember, it was something and they were talking about like all of the different investigations that are going on right now against Trump, like the Georgia thing, and the January 6th, and there's something going on in New York, I think. And so he's got like all these investigations going on, and they were saying, well, which one do you think is he losing sleep over? And they were like, the Georgia one.
You think so?
That's what they said.
Did they say why they thought that?
No, I don't remember. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Well, this is such a compelling story, and I'm really glad we got to talk about it, because I've been like holding my tongue. Like, did you see this? Now, speaking more of four and five add up to nine. That's what I call
it. Right.
He pleaded the fifth.
You remember that
Chappelle sketch where he was like, "I plead the fifth." I plead the fifth. 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth. I got something you need to know. I'm going to plead the fifth. You remember that?
Ask me
a question. I'm going to say fifth. So many amendments in the Constitution. Fifth. Anyway, so that's
So that's what my mind meant when I saw this headline. Because your man's Trump was in a deposition for 6 hours, I guess, with the New York district attorney investigating his business practices.
Right.
I think maybe it was yesterday. And he, you know, when you go into a deposition, you sit down, the court reporter says, okay, hold up your right hand. They swear you in under oath. And then you go answering questions that the lawyers ask you. And under oath, the only question he answered was his name.
That's
everything
it.
Else, he pleaded the fifth. He pleaded the fifth 440 times
And
plead the fifth.
And he famously said only guilty people plead the fifth.
Oh, you know they use those words against him. Yeah, girl. Yes, he did. So what's up?
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious. Again, more pep in my step. I have rockets in my shoes. That's how like pumped up I am about this week.
Rockets in your shoes.
So that was my story about the fifth. Yeah, what do you got? Yeah.
I think it's your turn for a story now.
Oh, that was my story. He pleaded the fifth in the deposition.
Oh, he pleaded the fifth. That was it. Okay. So also Senator Lindsey Graham is in trouble too.
Uh-oh. What did he do now? No, I didn't.
He didn't show up for a deposition, I think. Or let me see. Show up for... Oh, no, he was supposed to show up for an appearance at the Fulton County Courthouse for a special grand jury investigating
the Georgia
Trump.
Thing.
Yeah, for the Georgia thing.
Oh, and shit. That's he was
subpoenaed and he initially challenged the subpoena, but then he reached an agreement to move his challenges to the district court in Georgia because he wanted to, I guess, move it to South Carolina. I don't know. But he came to an agreement and he was supposed to show on Wednesday and he didn't show.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Well, it's sanction time. Let's hope that the penalties will be enough that he either does what he's supposed to do or goes to jail? I don't know.
Yeah. Let's hope so.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
I just feel like maybe these evil people are finally getting their due.
Like the chickens are coming home to roost.
Yes.
Like Malcolm X said.
Yep.
Maybe.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Maybe. Because they always say evil people will eventually... something will eventually happen. And sometimes you despair. Like these people are doing these evil things and they're terrible and they're hurting people and you feel like it's never going to stop.
Yeah.
And then one day it does.
If we just hang on for a little while longer.
Hang on by your fingertips, everybody.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, I would have laughed at your encouraging words to just hang on a little bit.
Yeah,
because karma always comes through. Now that I have rockets in my shoes because of all this news.
Yeah, talk to me again next week, here in a month, and see how I feel.
I can hold on for at least another week. That's where I'm at.
For another week, for sure. But I also, I think it was on Preet. They were saying that the FBI is probably going to go dark until after the election.
Wait a minute. Like, they're not going to release any information about their findings? Is that what that means?
Yeah, they're probably not. We're not going to hear anything until after the election.
Because
the election is so close.
Yeah.
And
They've made that mistake before.
They don't want to do it again. Mm-hmm. So they're probably going to go dark until after the election. So don't be surprised if we don't hear anything. Don't go into despair.
My rockets have ran out of gas. Oh, no. I'll be okay.
Other things can happen, like the Georgia thing, the New York thing.
I plead the fifth. One, two, three, four, fifth. And it's spelled, by the way, F-I-F.
fifth. He goes, Dave Chappelle goes, I got this important piece of paper in this folder here. I think you want to ask me about it. It says fifth. And on the paper is the word F-I-F. F-I-F. Oh my God. It's so funny. So, man.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
We are gathered here today to give you permission to plan the wedding that you want.
I'm Jessica Bishop.
And I'm Sari Wienerman.
And we're the hosts of the Bouquet Toss podcast.
Today's couples have to juggle so many things, from family expectations to outdated traditions and what's currently trending.
So to make it easier, we're going deep to figure out why we do weddings the way that we do, so you can decide what to keep and what to toss from your wedding day plans.
You are cordially invited to subscribe to the Bouquet Toss wherever you get your podcasts or at evergreenpodcast.com.
By the power vested in us, we pronounce you free to plan your day your way.
Well, I have a not so happy story. I have two very not happy stories. So I'll start with the first one. Albuquerque police. Not the Albuquerque one. And you know what? I'll just go in the Albuquerque one. Albuquerque police have detained a suspect in the killings of Muslim men. Now, these killings, there's been four, but they've happened since November.
Yeah.
Yeah. Four Muslim men have been killed since November, and authorities fear that they may be connected. And I don't need to know anything else. Of course, these are serial hate crimes against Muslims, but the authorities don't want to come out and say that yet for some reason. What they are saying is that they have a primary suspect in custody for the killings of these Muslim men in Albuquerque. The deaths have sparked fear in the Muslim community. So these people have been shooketh for a long time, since 9/11. But this particular event increased that fear. So police tracked down what they believe is a vehicle that was involved in these one, at least one of the slayings, they said, not all four of them. And they described it as a dark gray silver four-door Volkswagen Jetta or a Passat with dark tinted windows. Authorities released a picture of the car and have offered a $20,000 reward for any information leading to an arrest. Now it's unclear. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think actually the suspect is Muslim.
Huh?
Yeah.
I didn't see that in the articles. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I actually read articles, more than one for this one. What?
Yeah, I heard about this story and I was very surprised. But yeah, I just Googled it and his name is Muhammad Syed.
Whoa. Okay. Well, forget the reward. They got the suspect. The suspect
him.
In custody.
They got him.
Yeah, he's in custody. So I didn't see his name. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
This is a big deal. Even Joe Biden noticed the news about the slayings, and he said, you know, attacks like these have no place in America. Thanks for saying that, yeah. Joe Biden. Yeah. The victims, let me just list their names. Muhammad Afzal Hussein was 27. Naeem Hussein, 25. Aftab Hussein, 41. And Muhammad Ahmadi, 62. Some of them were from Afghanistan, and some were from Pakistan. But some of them were also members of the same mosque, and they were all killed in ambush shootings.
Wow.
And the common elements again are their race and their religion. People in the Muslim community have expressed fear, questions, concern, terror. It's affecting their lives in such a profound way. It's affecting how they move on the daily. So people aren't even leaving their houses unless they absolutely have to. Yep. And apparently Albuquerque doesn't have many anti-Muslim hate crime reports, at least over the past 5 years. The FBI has a center for study of hate and extremism. I would think they would be busier than they are. Anyway, from 2017 to 2020, there was one anti-Muslim hate crime a year. And I don't know how accurate those numbers are, but that's what they reported. Mm. The highest number of anti-Muslim hate crime in Albuquerque was in 2016. I wonder what happened that year when 6 out of 25 hate crimes were anti-Muslim.
Wow.
That, I guess, largely tracks with national trends, which hit their lowest numbers in a decade in 2020. We were all in the house, only to increase by 45% in 2021 in a dozen cities and states. For some reason, Albuquerque authorities say they cannot determine, oh my God, if the slayings were hate crimes or not until they identify the suspect and a motive.
They did identify him
and he's a Muslim. So now I don't know what to say.
I'm looking at this article and it says some reports have suggested the possibility that Syed, a Sunni Muslim, had targeted his victims over anger that his daughter married a Shia Muslim.
Oh.
So, yeah, I don't know. But,
well, I just wanted to bring it there. It sounds like this is a developing story. Beth has already found out there's a suspect in his name. When I wrote my notes on this story, I didn't have one, so I apologize. But it just seems that's a lot of people to die in a small community.
It really is somebody else. Sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So rest in power to those victims. Anyway, what do you got, Beth?
Did you hear about a New York City man who gunned down a restaurant employee in a dispute over duck sauce? Did we cover this?
No. Are you what? No, I don't know.
Wait, what?
Duck sauce?
Duck sauce, yeah.
What kind of dispute over sauce?
So Glenn Hirsch is the guy's name that he was arrested. And he murdered Yan Zhiwen, a Chinese restaurant deliveryman, in April of this year. And I guess Glenn Hirsch was mad because he wasn't given enough duck sauce with a November order. So he ordered Chinese food in November. And then he was so mad after being denied a refund, he went on a harassment campaign, stalking, slashing tires, and pointing a gun at the restaurant's owner. And then all of that escalated into Hirsch shooting Yan while he was delivering food.
Isn't that crazy? Wait, I have to ask, is Mr. Hirsch white?
White, yeah. Okay. Of course he is. Yeah.
Okay. I find that white people get really mad about very small
stupid things.
But then their actions would lead you to believe that it's a very big thing.
And duck sauce is
very small.
Duck sauce. Yeah. So I guess this guy, Glenn Hirsch, committed suicide. So
what?
Yeah.
They don't even get to take him to the jail or ask what the hell, sir?
Nope. So he was supposed to go to a court appearance, but he missed it. So people went looking for him and they found that he'd committed suicide. He shot himself.
Wow. You know what? It sounds like there was a lot more going on with this man than just a low duck sauce supply.
Yep. Yeah. Some mental health issues for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh my gosh. What a mess. I mean, there's just so many other options. Now I'm not talking about just the suicide part. Like the duck sauce is not a big deal, bro.
No.
Like, wow. So two people are dead now and that's really tragic. That's
over duck sauce.
Well, I did not hear about that story, but thank you, Beth, for keeping us informed. Look at us fruities. Next time at the water cooler, we are going to be so informed. I have a sad story.
Okay.
So did you hear about the father who killed his three children and himself on live streaming.
Oh, my God. On live stream?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah. Apparently, he was upset. I guess he ranted about a lot of things. One of the things he said that was that his baby mother gave him an STD. This all happened in Oklahoma City. This man, it was 29 years old. He's a black man. And his name is Francois Little John. And he live streamed the final moments before killing his three children and himself.
Oh, my God.
Now, what had happened was, I guess police were called to the home to do a welfare check. And then the suspect left the family home with the children. And he was threatening to kill the kids on social media before this all went down.
And before a family member, the police came?
Before the killing happened. Before rant, there was another rant. And family members saw it. It must happen at like 4 a.m. on Saturday morning. Family members saw it and reported it to the police. And police tried really hard to find the location of this man and the children. They didn't make it in time to get the kids to safety. Mm. And the father executed them. And I just want to say their names. 2-year-old Trinity Little John, 4-year-old Aaliyah Little John, and 6-year-old Kyron Little John. And so just rest in power to those little babies. That's a really, really sad case. I feel like there's a theme here today, like get help, talk to somebody. I mean, seriously, I mean, hurt people hurt other people. And right. Even though crime is subjective, the big ones, murder, rape, theft, are so preventable. And that's really this is a sad case. So I'm sorry to bring it here, but I felt like I needed to lift up those little kids' names so we didn't forget
thank
them.
Thank you. Yeah.
My name is Bill Huffman, and I am a former Cleveland news producer, and I am now the host of the podcast, Who Killed? I began the show focusing on the unsolved murder of Amy Mihaljevic, and now each week I explore a different case with a focus on some of the victims who don't get the attention they deserve. I have a deep catalog of over 225 episodes, so there is a guarantee there will be something for you. Who Killed is an evergreen podcast, Killer Podcasts, and Slow Burn Media production. Subscribe today wherever you get your favorite shows.
So do you have any more stories?
I do have one. It's a silly story. Okay.
I got two more stories, so I'll do this one, you do yours, and then I'll do my final one.
Close us out. Okay.
Okay, all right, here. So the Door Christian Fellowship Ministries in McAllen, Texas, performed the musical Hamilton last weekend.
Oh, I heard about this trash-ass show.
The McAllen Church performed the musical twice on August 5th and then again on August 6th. Uh-huh. And one performance was live streamed and published online, which sounds nice, right?
Not my Hamilton.
Well, it sounds nice, except they changed lyrics and added text without permission.
Yeah, it was super anti-LGBTQ, I guess.
Clips of the performance show scenes not in the original musical of characters making references to confessing and repenting to the Lord and Savior, while the post-show sermon suggests being gay is a sin and something an individual may struggle with alongside substance addiction, broken marriages, or poor finances. And a representative of the Hamilton musical said the show was unaware of this unauthorized staging of Hamilton and that the musical does not grant amateur or professional licenses for any stage productions and did not grant one to the Door Church. The production also issued a cease and desist letter for the unauthorized use of the musical's intellectual property. And Lin-Manuel Miranda responded publicly in a tweet saying, "Grateful to all of you who reached out about this illegal, unauthorized production. Now lawyers do their work."
Hell yeah. Yeah, dígale. Tell him. Tell him, Lin.
So gross.
That one, yeah. I don't know. I know it's catchy music, but right. I don't know why you would taint it to.
Well, they were making it better.
Oh, it was a punch up, you say?
Yes, that's what I'm sure that's what they thought.
No. We're going to call that one punch down the jams.
Punch down the jam.
My
punch
was
it
one
down,
of my favorite.
Punch
yeah.
it down.
But, yeah. Wow. Nope. No, I'm not getting tickets to that show.
Yeah. No,
I gotta say the day I first saw Hamilton was one of the greatest days of my life. But the dance out with Beth was another amazing day in my life.
So awesome. Yeah.
Oh man, nothing like a little Hamilton to make you feel good.
Yeah. For sure.
Musicals in general. Olivia Newton-John died this week.
Yeah.
And I've been listening to Grease a lot. Like, just beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. I don't even care that there's no black or brown people in it.
Wasn't there some black and brown people in Xanadu?
I've never seen Xanadu. Is that the roller skating
Xanadu?
One?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nah.
You never saw Xanadu?
No, I've seen Xanadu performed on the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and I'm not into it. It doesn't speak to me.
Yeah, it was very silly. It was very silly, but it, you know, it was 1980, and
it was the 80s.
It was the 80s, and I went and saw it. Yeah.
Oh,
I think there's some. Women of color in it. I could be wrong though.
But Olivia Newton-John was in it.
Misremembering. Olivia Newton-John was in it. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Girl, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up.
Why are you asking me about Xanadu?
Why are you talking about Xanadu?
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at a picture right now. There are there's a black lady. There's another lady who she's a woman of color.
Well, maybe I'll check it out. I love the ridiculous.
It's very silly. Roller skated
yesterday. I've actually been wearing my roller skates during the day, like while I work at home.
Really?
Well, they say if you want to be really good at roller skating, you should wear your roller skates more often.
All over the place.
But it is very dangerous.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, check out Xanadu.
Well, you don't have to. It's very silly.
I might if I can find a screaming somewhere.
Maybe
we can
review Xanadu for our Patreons.
Hello. Things that I know I should watch, but I don't want to. I usually, if I can speed it up, like to
then,
one and a half
you
speed,
can suffer through
then
it.
Then I'll do it. Yeah. So if I could find the content out there that is speed upable, you might catch me out here and join Xanadu. I just wanted to say, we talked about R. Kelly a couple weeks ago because he was sentenced to 30 years in prison for basically using his wealth and power and fame to abuse women, girls, and boys for years. But guess what? Part of his sentence included that he had to pay a bunch of court fines and give money to, I believe, part of his, whatever he pays goes to some fund,
a victims
to help,
fund,
yeah, human trafficking victims.
Oh, okay,
but he owes the court $140,000 and he hasn't paid it. So the court said,
"Oh my god,
you know what? We seen your commissary account, your inmate account. There's $28,000 in there, and
so they just took it.
They're like, well, they haven't yet, but they can, and they are asking for it."
Jesus Christ, he's got to have like shit tons of money.
Yeah, I mean, he wrote songs for Michael Jackson, for Whitney Houston, and Slim Billy.
Not to earning money off of that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know none of us are playing his music at the cookouts. I haven't heard R. Kelly at all this summer, but somebody out there is still listening.
Somebody is.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, he is still, I think, earning money. So, get those fees, y'all, that the money can go towards some good. So I just thought it was funny, the headline, R. Kelly is broke. But not quite.
Not really.
So, yeah. So that's the last one I got.
His broke ass is in jail.
His broke ass is in jail. Yes. Yes. Look at my friend. Yes.
I got one more story for you.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
So this happened in Richmond, California.
Okay, Bay Area.
Yeah, is it? I didn't know where it was.
I think so.
Okay. A 36-year-old man who has not been identified was enraged after being uninvited to the services for his mother after she passed away.
Whoa.
His rage resulted in a chaotic altercation between 8 to 20 members of the same family who were reportedly armed.
Oh my God.
I'm just imagining they're a bunch of rednecks, but I don't really know.
Well, you know, emotions are high at funerals. You've never been to a funeral where this uncle and that uncle fight and then somebody has to threaten to call the police to get them to stop?
No. Weddings, yes. Not funerals. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So the feud first broke out between the brother and sister, who had not gotten along for many years. When the sister's boyfriend tried to break up the dispute, the brother, who reportedly had a stun gun, began beating the boyfriend.
On his person?
Yep.
My sir. Whoa.
Officers responded to Rolling Hills Cemetery in Northern California. So yeah, I guess Bay Area.
Okay.
After several 911 reports of a large family fight.
Wow.
And then they came across a chaotic altercation.
Wow.
At some point during the argument, the brother got into his car with the intention of running over his sister.
Instead,
he drove across the grass and gravestones, knocking over and damaging headstones and breaking a water main, which flooded the funeral director's grandmother's plot and also the mother's empty grave.
Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. What a disaster. This is Three Stooges level.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
While driving across the grass, the brother struck another woman in her 30s, not his intended target. She went to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, so she's okay.
Okay.
He also managed to knock over his mother's casket.
Are you serious? This isn't a joke. This sounds like a setup for a joke or a bit.
I know. Whoa. It sounds like a scene in a comedy movie.
Sketch. Yeah.
Wow. So they knocked over the mother's casket, but her body didn't fall out. So there's that.
Pandemonium.
And then when the brother got out of his car, a different family member struck him in the head with a cane.
Hey, stop acting a fool. Wow. Uncle Charlie is losing it, Mom. Whoa. Can you imagine being at
What a scene. So the brother was arrested for felony assault with a deadly weapon and vandalism. And preliminary estimates from the Memorial Park suggest the dispute caused at least $20,000 worth of damage.
Wow. And you know what? If it's intentional, insurance won't pay for it. He's gonna. That's a hefty bill.
I don't have
$20,000 laying around, and I mean that's why I don't go around fighting fools in public or running people over with a car. Come on now, wow, what a story!
Yeah,
I love that one. I think that is rockets in my shoes, more like atomic bombs. Okay,
You better call Trump and get the nuclear codes.
Oh my God, that is good. Well, oh, my friend, this has been fun. I've missed you. I'm so glad we got to catch up on the news.
Yeah.
And thank you all for joining us. Look, that's the news. Look alive, y'all. It's crazy out there.
It really is.
Seriously, yeah.
Hello, this is Gary Chahot welcoming you to check out the French History Podcast. Our main show covers the history of France from the first humans until present. If you liked Mike Duncan's The History of Rome and wanted a similar program covering the land of beauty, culture, and love, we are exactly that. We also host world-renowned scholars who have delivered guest episodes on their specialties, including 18th century pirates, revolutionary booksellers in 20th century Paris, the special friendship between the Marquis de Lafayette and Thomas Jefferson, and numerous others. Learn what you love and listen to the French History Podcast today.
So when the scammer uses the hypnotic method of building rapport, then they create dysfunctional, delusional reality.
That's how a scam begins. Convincing the mark that it makes perfect sense to hand over their money to a con artist. The Scams and Cons podcast tells you how scams are run. You'll hear how people are convinced to buy fake art, buy machines that print money, or steal your house.
I get a phone call from my wife, and she let me know that they had decided to move all our stuff out. I could no longer do anything about it except go through an eviction.
And you'll hear it from the experts, people who run the cons.
So we go to your bank, you go in and get $6,000 cash, give us each $3,000, we give you this. Uh-huh. You go home, and what you find out is cut up newspaper.
It's fun to know how the trick is done, and that's what Scams and Cons is all about. Listen at scamsandcons.com or wherever fine podcasts are found.